Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No one's live.
What next for Roman Reigns? Hello, I'm Ollie Davis, victorious in the Jam That Jam versus FTF War. I'm joined by Luke Owen. We are reviewing WWE SummerSlam 2020 today, a show that you will never see coming. The quality and the clean finishes across up and down the card. One enjoyable show. I don't know if it was because it was a really, really sort of, you know, it was a show with loads of good finishes and just stuff that made sense. The in-ring action was good. Or I don't know if I just enjoyed it so much because I was watching it with you, buddy.
I know, man. Well, it was fun to have you back on for the stream. I said that it was the first stream that you and I had done together since Goldberg beat The Fiend in Saudi Arabia, which I'll be honest, feels like a lifetime ago. So it was very fun to watch the show with you, my friend, and you know, for Laurie and Adam to be there as well. I think we had quite the lark in the old live stream chat. It was a good time, mate.
It was a lovely time with the boys. You can go over to WrestleTalk Clips and watch the sort of 40-minute supercut version of those. You've got all the timestamps if you want to watch the reactions to individual matches. But for right now, we're going to start with the main talking point, the biggest bit of wrestling news in terms of stuff going on in storyline, I think, since, well, Goldberg came back, really, or since Roman stepped away. And that is, back in March, Roman Reigns was going to have one of the biggest matches of his career. He was going to win the Blue Universal Championship from Bill Goldberg at WrestleMania. Was meant to face The Fiend, but Vince McMahon in his infinite wisdom thought, no, Battle of the Spears. I'm going to give it to Goldberg on that show, that last pay-per-view that me and Luke did a live reactions together. So in a way, it's all we can just pretend it never happened. Just take it out. And Roman Reigns, because, well, you know, he had leukemia, he recovered from it, had a compromised immune system. That's one reason he decided he didn't feel comfortable working during a pandemic. But the main reason he said publicly was because his wife gave birth to a second set of twins. There are now four people who look like the other person in that house. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's WWE's future main event scene.
Right. Yeah. All those tag teams. The Usos can sort of groom them. But that was all the way back in March. Roman Reigns excused himself, very understandably so. There was sort of like rumors of heat. It seemed like the company were treating it weird. They'd go from not mentioning it whatsoever, not explaining why he was missing from TV, weirdly editing him out of video packages. There were reports there might be some heat there. certainly, if you speculated, it looks like all wasn't well, and that WWE, despite saying, hey, it's okay, anyone can take time off, when it actually happens and comes to pass, it's not so smooth. But last night, in the Braun Strowman versus Fiend Blue Universal title match, which the Fiend won with two Sister Abigails onto the exposed wooden floorboards of the ring, which were cut open by Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns returned from out of nowhere. And yeah, he looked amazing.
Yeah, he looked so, so great. And it was, we said this in the live stream reactions last night, but it was so good to see him back. And instantly, I think that Braun and Bray have done what they can with this sort of nonsense story that they've been given. Poor old Alexa Bliss, don't know what happened to her in this storyline. Didn't play into the match whatsoever, despite being part of all the build. Roman coming out and spearing both of them and holding aloft that title suddenly made that feel main event. Mm. It hadn't felt main event up until that point. And I think that Roman has got that star power. And that's not just like, that's not me just filleting Roman Reigns or blowing smoke. It's because WWE have positioned him as the main event for the last 6 years, that as soon as he arrives, you're like, oh yeah, that's what a main eventer looks like, because they're not treating anyone else like a main eventer or a star. So when he comes back, you're like, oh yeah, right, of course, that's what the main event looks like. Yeah, now I remember.
Plus, it's novel. You know, he hasn't been around for 6 months. That's a long time to miss in WWE programming. He inserts himself right at the top of the title picture on SmackDown. But what is, like, really interesting to me here, and I, you know, when I saw this angle unfold, Roman Reigns returns, spears the Fiend, you're like, okay, that's, yay, Roman Reigns is back. But then when the angle continued to unfold, I was like, no, this is something extra to that. Reigns seemed to snap. He was shouting at people way beyond his usual level of intensity. This was like fury. He showed anger with Braun and Bray, like legit anger. And he gets this chair and he wails on the Fiend. And then he goes out to Braun and he wails away to Strowman, to the extent, you know, there were so many shots there from Roman on an unprotected guy, where I was like, this feels like a heel turn.
Yeah, so, and loads of people were saying that in the chat last night. We had loads of super chats about, like, is this a Roman heel turn? It was the title of your video. But for me, like, this is the booking we've been asking them to do of Roman since 2014, basically. Like, when he had that 2014 Rumble moment where we were like, oh, we want him to win, not Batista. We want this lad to win. And then, you know, they went with Batista instead. Like, that's the Roman we've always wanted. So for me, this wasn't a heel turn. This was just, this is Roman Reigns being presented as Roman Reigns, not as suffering succotash Roman Reigns. Oh, I'm actually John Cena.
But that's the best version of Roman Reigns. I know what the people want. So there's a few directions they can go from here. If everyone wasn't around me when I watched that angle, I would have gone like, that's a heel turn, with like a little bit of an out if you want to make him a tweener or just a badass babyface, like you said. Everyone else, not everyone else, there are still a lot of people saying that looks like a heel turn to me. But yeah, just stepping away, thinking about how WWE protects these top guys, what they need right now, because both Braun and Bray are heels. That main event was a heel versus heel match, which has no business main event in a pay-per-view, really. That's sort of a bad bit of booking to get there. But the main event angle afterwards totally explains that away and is the right decision to put it on last over Orton versus McIntyre. Yeah. But where does Roman go after this? So he could turn heel. That could be an avenue. He continues to become more and more angry at Braun for replacing him in the Goldberg match at Mania. It's going to be an awkward storyline to do because WWE never addressed that happening at the time.
Well, so this is from WrestlingNews.co. Reigns was supposed to win the Universal Championship from Goldberg at Mania. Now, the plan is for Reigns to take the title from Wyatt. Word going around backstage tonight is that the title change may happen as soon as Payback next Sunday. It's not clear if the plan is to do Wyatt versus Reigns or a triple threat with Strowman involved. So now that Roman's back, it's almost a case of just like, just pull the brakes now and can go back to the plans that we had post-Mania when Roman was supposed to win the title.
I don't think that's a good idea, because this was going to be my other thing. I think this quite naturally builds to a three-way at Payback.
Yes.
I'm excited about that match. Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, they've all got a lot of history together. And, you know, good in-ring matches. Strowman and Bray, not so much. But Roman with both those guys has wicked chemistry. I mean, it's hard to find someone Roman can't have good matches with.
And Fiend in a triple threat match, which we've only ever seen him in singles matches, which would be, that's an interesting new dynamic for him.
So I like that a lot. Do I want that with a week's worth of build, where realistically it's all going to happen actually 2 days before the show with SmackDown? No, I don't, is the answer. Will we get it is another thing entirely.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's just a report that's come up from WrestlingNews.co that apparently the plan is Roman is going to win the title next Sunday. And that's why he made his return at SummerSlam. And and really, like, when you look at that report, it makes a lot of sense, because he was supposed to be winning the title at Mania. He probably was going to be champion all the way through SummerSlam, maybe even into Survivor Series and beyond, possibly even to Mania next year. He is Roman. He is their guy. Wyatt is not their guy. I think SmackDown needs a star champion, and he is the only star that they've built for the last 5 years.
Oh, no, you don't really believe this, do you? I've got so many points to say why this is a bad idea.
I'm not disagreeing with you. It's totally a bad idea, because the final argument I was going to make for it is, do you think that WWE would bring Roman Reigns back and then him not win his first match back?
Well, if it's a triple threat, he could be, outside of the thing. So there's, it's almost weird, because we're all like, why is there this weird pay-per-view a week after SummerSlam? And now you're saying that makes a bit of sense, doesn't it? Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe the entire reason Payback is a thing is just so they can get the belt onto Roman as soon as possible. If that's the case, though, let him win it off of Braun. I don't want a one-week title reign for The Fiend.
Yeah, I know, but the plan for... but we said that when Bray won the title the first time round. Do you remember when he won it? And then, Randy Orton beat him a week later at Mania. But, this was the Mania plan, was for Roman to overcome The Fiend. So you put the title back on The Fiend so Roman can overcome him by Payback.
On one show? That's 3 months of story.
I get, but they already did that 3 months of story, Ollie. They did that 3 months of story earlier this year.
Don't you dare Pritchard me. Okay, there's one more fan theory that I want to get to before we start going through people's opinions and super chats on this matter. And that is he the leader of Retribution?
Of Metribution? I think just because he was in a black t-shirt does not make him the leader of Metribution.
A t-shirt that says, wreck everything and leave.
It's Austin Retribution's.
Yeah, but what's Retribution's modus operandi?
It's cause a tiny bit of havoc.
Yeah, come in. Ooh, smashed a window. Leave. Come in. Ooh, chainsaw rope. Leave.
But it's the Austin t-shirt with arrive, raise hell, leave. Like, they're just, they're positioning him as the new Austin.
Yeah, but there wasn't a whole invading faction force at that time. I think, Fiend super baby face, Roman wins. If Roman wins the title at Payback, the only way it's not going to spectacularly backfire on SmackDown and Roman, remember, it's going to backfire on Roman. People are going to get sick of him again a week after this amazing return if he gets the belt so quickly. The only way is if he turns mega heel and has a faction behind him. I don't know. Maybe it's a lost cause. Let's get into some super chats. Let's see what you guys think. Tim Arndt says, I'm happy that WWE is finally giving Roman Reigns killer push. I've been calling for that ever since he was wrestling in the minor leagues.
Very good, Tim.
Matthew McFadden. The last three matches of SummerSlam were all top tier. Bray is my favorite character in wrestling history, but even I marked out for Roman. Well done, WWE.
I'll be honest, for me, he saved the match for me, because I thought the match was a bit of a dud. Thought it was a bit pants, and the ending was proper pants. So like Roman coming out and making the save for it, I think was actually really needed.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. Bacon Rasher missed last night, but caught up now. And congrats, Team Jam That Jam. I am unstoppable. Ollie put us in a tight spot. Or was it a strategic masterpiece? And came out on top, but I'm still Wrestle Luke all the way. Well,
hey,
Luke is great.
Thanks, Bacon Rasher.
Fiend fed to Roman, though I'm not with all the way. I don't want to see that happen. Nate drop surname. So triple threat next week. Fiend retains. Roman challenges Fiend at Hell in a Cell. And Fiend begins an awful Hell in a Cell streak. Jam that jam.
Also a possibility. Like, I think that the realistic thing we need to look at here is that no matter when it happens, Roman is going to be the Blue Universal Champion at some point. Like, it's not a possibility. I think it's a foregone conclusion that he'll be the champion at some point soon, right?
Some point soon. But surely he's a baby face tweener, whatever he is right now. The thrill is in the chase. You don't tell that story within a week.
The thrill is having him be the champion, mate. And he was supposed to be the champion at Mania, and he's delayed those plans, the big caring bastard. So you've got to get that title on him quickly.
Gavin Wilson, how short will Bray's second Blue Universal reign be? Well,
7 days.
God. Rich McCann, I don't think WWE gets The Fiend. Maybe next week. It's Bray, not The Fiend.
I think WWE do get The Fiend. He's a monster. And monsters need to have baby faces to slay them.
Kodiak 1984, should Reign have caused a no contest instead? No. There were so many clean finishes on that show. Leave the clean finishes alone, Kodak. Right, yeah. We'll get
the alternative is that maybe Otis comes down next week to cash in Money in the Bank and you go into a Roman Otis feud.
That's your out. That's your booking saving grace there, is it?
Well, we've put Money in the Bank on him, mate. You got to do something with it, haven't you?
Tag team titles.
No, don't catch them in the tag titles. Who are the tag champs, Ollie?
It's not Cesaro and Sheamus. Like I said on my news on Friday. It's, of course, Sheamus and Shinsuke Nakamura. So that's a joke, by the way, before everyone starts correcting me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
We will get to all of your super chats throughout the show, so get them in. We will be doing our full play-by-play review of SummerSlam incredibly shortly. But first, we are joined by the Danger Man, Louis Dangour.
Hi, Louis.
Hello. I do like that introduction. I can get used to that. So I'm here to make a bit of an announcement. So, Ollie, what was your prediction for the Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre match?
Backslide.
You saw it coming.
Drew McIntyre, yeah. I predicted that Ric Flair and Randy Orton were still in cahoots. Ric Flair was going to come down. Looks like he was going to help Drew, but actually turn on him, and Randy Orton was going to win the belt.
So were you a bit upset that you didn't get to see Ric Flair?
I was. I like Ric Flair. I like the funny way he walks down to the ring.
So if you're a fan of Ric Flair, you didn't get to see him last night. Well, I've got you covered. Because on Wednesday at 1 p.m. UK time, I've got an exclusive interview going up on WrestleTalk Interviews with the Nature Boy, with 16-time world champion, with Ric Flair.
Woohoo!
Wow.
Woo indeed.
Is that the genuine question? I don't know this. Is this actually his first post most recent run WWE interview?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
Don't fact check it.
Don't look into it, people. Ric Flair. It's 100% confirmed. It's the first and it's the only interview he's done since he being written off WWE TV. Don't Google it.
It's his first interview of all time.
Yes, that's correct.
I am his first. Yeah. And will be his last. But so he said to me, listen, we got 15 minutes.
Don't threaten him, mate.
He
said to me, we got 15 minutes. We went for about 50. The guy, wow. It was such a great chat. We spoke about his recent WWE run, working with Randy Orton, working sort of on the opposite side to Drew McIntyre. So I think you guys will definitely love to see it. Ollie will enjoy it so he can get his Ric Flair kick for the week. And yeah. It's the biggest one we've done. So if you're not subscribed to WrestleTalk Interviews now, head on over there. Subscribe, bell button, so you don't miss any uploads. We've had FTR on the show. We've had Shawn Michaels. We've had Drew McIntyre. We've had Matt Cardona. We've had a whole host of names. But this
new
is one
TNT
I'm really...
New TNT champion Brody Lee.
New TNT
that's
champion
my
Brody
favorite
Lee.
Favorite interview of yours, actually. Brody Lee, one of the FTR, are fantastic.
So great. Mm. It was just after he'd stolen the AEW championship and had it on him for the interview. So great. Mm.
He was such a heel, but he was the nicest person I've ever interviewed. So I want to hate you, but you're so nice.
Cool. Well, I will put a link to WrestleTalk Interviews in the live chat if I can remember how to do a pinned comment. But everyone go over there and subscribe to WrestleTalk Interviews. So a clip's going up tomorrow. Can you tell us what it's about?
It's about, so I ask Rick about whether we've seen the last of him on WWE TV. And if he does return, he gives a couple of names about who he'd like to manage and have an on-screen partnership with. And the options are quite exciting. So I think you guys will definitely enjoy that one. The full interview out on Wednesday. And then we have another clip going out later on in the week.
Awesome. Well, the excellent link stuff is now the pinned comment in the chat. Everyone go over there and check it out. Thank you for joining us, Louis. Did you enjoy Thanks SummerSlam? How would you describe SummerSlam in well, a sentence, a couple of sentences?
It made sense. Everything made sense. Apart from Alexa Bliss, everything made sense. Yeah. So it was great.
I'd also argue the Seth Rollins thing as well, but we'll get to that.
So on the pre-show, Dominic is dropped off for school, legit wearing a backpack by his mum and dad. What the hell was this?
It proper looked like first day at school, or as Laura brought to bring your kid to work day.
Renee Young was on the pre-show, sort of farewell Renee Young. She's off the pastures new. This was her final WWE appearance.
As Denise and I talked about on the Friday podcast show, criminally underused Renee Young, really, in sort of the grand scheme of things. Thought she was criminally underused. I don't think it got better after Talking Smack, to be honest. And she and Brian working together made SmackDown, they elevated SmackDown with Talking Smack. I think losing Renee is a big, big loss.
Yeah, totally agree. She's got a 90-day no-compete as well. So don't expect her to turn up on AEW anytime soon. But you know, it's probably a high possibility that she'll at least feature there down the line. Shayna Baszler interrupted Charlie Caruso to talk about Nia Jax. It's a bit of an awkward feud there because you'd want Baszler to be more in the Raw title picture, but we'll get onto that later. And the pre-show match was Apollo Crews versus MVP in just a pretty standard Raw match.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 5 minutes. Just go out there, work the crowd, and make sure Apollo goes over. And we should really talk about this. This is your first experience being able to review the Thunderdome. What did you make of it?
So, you know, obviously I'd seen the pictures. When I wrote Friday's news episode, which was all sort of the fallout of those Thursday night tests that the WWE production team did with everyone who signed up. And I looked on Reddit and there was an account that had posted an article that just said, "I'm still in the Thunderdome." And what had happened is they'd accidentally been left on the audio for the post-production call. Did you see this?
I did not know. Oh my God, this is amazing.
And it's just going through how quickly they can bump people from screen and if, you know, but we can't have AEW shirts on there, all that sort of stuff. So I thought, well, you know, it's WWE show. They're within every right to do that. So, you know, people are like, oh, this is crazy. But it's not like people are buying tickets for this. They are getting free portals into it. So totally fine. I think that's above board. But it looks like a dystopian nightmare. And it took me a while to get into it. Like, I didn't like it at all. It was quite jarring for, I would say, the first half of this pay-per-view. However, and I thought the matches, which were just pretty standard, like your Andrade and Garza versus Street Profits, you know, just like a normal TV match, really, really made it drag. And I really noticed all those weird LED screens.
Yeah,
but something magical happened for Sasha Banks versus Asuka. I got utterly sucked in, and all of a sudden, I'm not looking at the screens anymore. Got used to it like that, and the sound that the crowd noise piped in, which I thought would jar with me most, really, really enhanced it. So I'm a convert.
Yeah, I thought it was I think it's brilliant. I thought it was a complete roaring success. I much prefer it to the PC guys banging on the wind, on the plexiglass. I think this creates a much... It looks awesome. I think you're right. Like, it's a bit jarring at first, but it really does work. And I showed my brother and his girlfriend... Well, I was hanging out with them at the weekend at my mum's place. And I showed them a clip from SmackDown and said, like, this is what they're doing now. And both of them said, oh, actually, that looks quite cool. You know, non-wrestling fans, they were like, that looks all right, actually. That looks pretty wicked. And I think I thought the crowd sweetening noises really helped matches as well.
Yeah.
Even though it's completely all overproduced, it's so WWE, it feels less forced than the PC recruits being told to like yay and boo for people in the sort of like as unconvincing a manner as possible. And like, and this is literal noises. Like this is literally yay boo noises, and they sound more genuine. So yeah, I'm a complete convert to it. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. We did get an email from Jaron Walker, who was part of the Thunderdome. He even found himself in like on screen of where he was. And he says, I got in about 2 hours early and watched the show from the Thunderdome point of view. They tell you to cheer, boo, and get really excited. Maybe that's a response to SmackDown when no one was reacting. During the Raw tag title match, the person directing us told us to hold up red party cups for the Street Profits. I didn't have one, and neither did anyone else, because the guy kept asking us to hold them up. He got desperate each time. Was someone supposed to be informed about this? I don't know.
Yeah, well, Meltzer and Alvarez in their review pointed out that this sort of direction of the crowd, like they're extras, like they're just another part of the performance team, it's very similar to the early days of WCW when they were in the Florida Universal Studios area before they started taking Nitro on the road. And yeah, you'd have the applause and boo signs.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, that happens at all stage shows. Like if you go to see, a game show being done, there will be a sign that says applause. There'll be a sign that says laughter. If you go to see comedy, like live tapings of companies filmed in front of a live studio audience, they would have people there to hold up laugh, you know, cheer, boo, yay, or whatever. And like they'll have crew members on the floor who will laugh the loudest because that way it encourages other people to laugh. I've known people that was their job was to, when working on comedy panel shows, was to be on the floor and just laugh really loudly to encourage other people to laugh.
Hey, in the old Wrestle Talk TV days, when we're in the Dagenham studio, you can make it sound like there were 100 people in that room with the right acoustics. But yes, I think, yeah, Thunderdome. Oh, Jaron Walker has just super chatted in. I've seen Small there Afro is. Games, guy who sent us in that live report.
That was a live
online
report?
Live report. I don't know what you call it in these days. But the first match of the main card was Asuka versus Bayley. Rightfully so. Smart sort of scheduling there because Asuka's going to wrestle again later on. You can have that narrative thread going throughout the night, creating tension. And that's exactly what they did. Asuka and Bayley had a really, you know, decent match, I thought. But it wasn't like the match. The match is Asuka versus Sasha Banks later on. This was a really good prologue / first part of this overall story that they were telling. I thought they played it perfectly.
It was more angle than match. And you know, but I don't think that's a bad thing at all. Like I saw a few people were a little bit down on it, but I actually thought it was played perfectly because it was all there to build the Raw Women's Championship match later in the show, which was all the better because of this Bayley match.
And the crucial story element here was that Bayley works over Asuka's knees. So she picks up Asuka on the ring apron, sort of does that. She drops her down, hardest part of the ring. The only bit I would say that was weird, and this happened a few times throughout the night, because there was a lot of leg working over, how quickly people who were injured then started using kicks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's popping it back into place, mate.
Yeah, but this had an exciting finish. Asuka catches a Bayley elbow drop in an armbar. Sasha gets up on the ring apron. And there's like two bits of Sasha interference. Ultimately, Asuka gets rolled up. The role models, roll up models there, get their first victory. They retain the title.
One of my favorite moments from the stream last night was Bayley rolls up Asuka and Asuka kicks out. And Adam Plompier says, and I quote, WWE will never do Asuka like that. They'll never do her dirty like that. And then not 30 seconds later, Bayley rolled her up and pinned her.
Well, what has he been watching the last few years? They do her like that routinely. So weirdly, as much as we love the Thunderdome, some old habits have persisted. After Sasha ran in to get a few cheap shots on Asuka before the match, their match later on, such heel. The camera cut to the crowd.
It looks so stupid.
The crowd that weren't there.
Yeah.
You could just cut to their feeds, but you didn't, Kevin Dunn. You cut to the LED screens that had people's faces on. which made them incredibly pixelated. Ridiculous.
Yeah, you don't need to cut to crowd reactions for this because it's just going to look naff because you're filming a webcam like projection on an LED board, so it's going to just look pixelated and blurry, and you're not going to get a Miz girl out of like cutting to someone on their webcam. Yeah, I don't think it was ever going to work. But as you say, old habits die hard.
I didn't notice it that much after that one. So maybe they learned. They were like, oh, God, that does look bad. If only they did that for Raw Underground. Oh, you know what? We are putting in too many cuts. Ray and Dominic had a backstage segment where Dominic was like, don't get involved. I need to do this by myself. We'll talk about that later. Street Profits and Angel Garza and Andrade had their tag title match next, which was... So this was a fine match. Nothing wrong with it, really. My problem with it comes from the overall story, where the babyfaces have had their revenge on the heels for 2 weeks. So this match has no heat.
No, this was... this story's been pretty naff from the get-go. And I think that they couldn't decide whether the story was Andrade and Garza cannot get along or it's the poisoning thing. But Montez Ford wasn't selling the poisoning thing whatsoever. Like, he wasn't selling it last week either when he made his return, which means that it didn't really build to anything in terms of this. And yeah, it ended up being just a match. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, they went back to these Garza and Andrade teasing a split again, which I feel like they've been doing since WrestleMania.
Oh my God, that team has never been on the same page. And that's where their strength is.
So.
Oh, come on. But they, against Big Show, was that the week? So yeah, the finish came when Vega was knocked off the apron by, God, I can't even remember.
I think by Garza.
We've seen this angle play out several times over the last couple of months. It's very overdone, in my opinion. Andrade's tending to Zelina. Which, you know, that's not really the relationship they have. I would have seen Andrade to value getting the tag titles over Vega's health. So there's character inconsistencies there. And Garza took the pin from what is admittedly an incredible frog splash from Montez Ford.
The spin adds so much torque. It's it makes it so much more impactful. We need to talk about the cannons that the Street Profits have now as part of their entrance, which shoots out red paper cups. And it just looks like it's a bit of a mess, to be honest. It looks like Retribution's been around to cause a little bit of havoc.
Yeah, they're not the right thing to use as confetti.
No, like when the Bucks have their cannon that shoots out the Young Bucks money, it floats. Like, you know, like ticker tape would do and as you would do for confetti. These cups just go boom and just land very hard on the floor.
It's the Rainmaker entrance for Okada when all the money is floating down from the sky. That works. Who thought the red cups were a good idea? Laurie, I actually quoted him here. He said that the floor looks like the sad aftermath of a party. All those red cups. But we did get our first Pikachu in the crowd. Wah, 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 wah.
Pikachu!
So one of the funnier things was that the Thunderdome occasionally became the Teddy Dome, where people would just hold up their cuddly toys.
My favourite thing about that Pikachu one is that if you watch the match back, you can almost see the progression of him working out where's the best place to put the Pikachu so that it is full face in the Thunderdome.
I love a Pikachu. But yeah, it popped me. And it seemed to pop the Kevin Dunn as well, because the Pikachu did not get bumped. Pikachu was there for the whole show.
Yeah, loved it. He loved watching SummerSlam.
Yeah, little guy. It is the Thunderdome.
Hey, I see what you did there. He's a water-type Pokemon.
Come on. After that, we had Kevin Owens. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Kevin Owens is on commentary, by the way, wearing a Street Profits t-shirt. Why? Your guess is as good as mine. He was pretty much just there to be Kevin Owens, very affable, and say, hey, tomorrow on Raw, Aleister Black is going to make his return on the KO show.
If this leads to a Aleister Black-Kevin Owens feud, I will be pretty into that, to be honest. I'll be massively up for that, because that will be Aleister Black's first proper storyline since coming up to the main roster. 18 months ago. And it's Kevin Owens's first thing to have done since WrestleMania.
I'm there with you. But just to preempt comments, he did have an actual feud with Buddy.
Was that a proper feud?
I would say it was.
Series of matches.
A sequence of things that happened, or a story. What is the difference? So, yeah, that they are stacking Raw for tomorrow night. I do feel like this post-SummerSlam world going into Payback and beyond is going to feel a bit like a new season somewhat, because we've got Aleister Black likely returning with a new gimmick, as was reported, potentially as a heel. And we've also got Keith Lee debuting on Raw as a proper call-up. He lost the NXT Championship at the weekend. There was a graphic for him later on in the show.
Yeah, Keith Lee's coming straight to the main roster. I'm excited to see what he's got. I mean, it's funny. We actually had a mailbag question on the Friday show with Denise, where someone said, you know, asking whether squash matches feel sort of archaic in the sort of modern day. They said, the reason I ask is I fear we're in for an autumn of Keith Lee squash matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think quite likely we're going to see a Keith Lee squash match tonight. And then we'll see another one next week. We'll probably see another one the week after. And then he won't be on TV for 3 weeks. And then he'll come back, have a couple more squash matches. And then eventually...
do this.
And then eventually, they'll put him into something. I'm waiting to be proved wrong. I'd love to be proved wrong on this one.
Come on. This one's ours. We've got this. We've got this. Come on, Keith Lee. Have more than a three-week push. So after that, we had Banks and Bayley talking to Kayla Braxton, not Charlie Caruso. As I said in my review video earlier on, where Bayley says it's going to be a clean sweep. And she even had a broom. Then we got Sonya Deville versus Mandy Rose. Not the best version of this match they could have had, because, you know, real-life events very understandably derailed things. Originally, this stipulation was going to be hair versus hair. Did you listen to the Wrestling Observer about why that was changed?
I didn't, but I believe it's because they didn't want to have Vince made the decision that he didn't want Sonya to have to go to court with like a buzzed haircut.
As Dave Meltzer tells it, it was more the lawyer's advice.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's not a good look for you to suddenly start showing up with a shaved head,
which I think is more of a damning indictment of the American justice system than it is about anything else.
I think for juries, you want to look as, you know, well presentable as possible, and you know, in some circles, a lady with a shaved head would be seen as
I'm sure. Yeah, jurors would look at all the evidence that shows that the guy is guilty, and then look at Sonya Deville with the shadow and be like, "Oh, but he's probably innocent."
Yeah, of all the trials where you could probably shave your head and the decisions still go in your favor, this is probably the one. But I don't know. America's probably got it all sorted out, though. They seem on top of this sort of stuff all the time. But Mandy and Sonya, they had a good match. It's kind of, I enjoyed the effort more than the actual work. I thought some of it was clunky. There were way too many knees. I felt like half the match was knees. I like both of them. I think they've had a really good storyline over the last 6 or 7 months. It's been epic. And yeah, if circumstances being what they were, I thought this was a good payoff for now.
Yeah, it was. It kind of, I mean, obviously, you know, Sonya needs some time off. So I think making this match stipulation, loser leaves town, I think makes a lot of sense. I think you can bring her back to Raw after this and just keep the two separate apart from each other and then maybe circle back to this feud in a year's time or something along those lines. Even though just have like a rumble stare off or something like that, I think would be a good way to do this. But yeah, I think there's a big, bright future ahead of Sonya Deville. She's class. So good. She's got great look. She's got great intensity. And I think there's a lot of upside for Mandy as well. I'm with you. I don't think the match was particularly great, but I very much appreciated the efforts that they were going to. I think they were trying to get the emotion across, which I think was sort of underdone slightly then by the post-match where Otis came down so they could sort of have a little worm party.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think... It undermined the seriousness of what they were trying to do. Mandy has vanquished her former best friend who betrayed her. Sonya has to leave the company. A stipulation that's hard to take seriously in WWE anyway, because they never stick to it. So when it happens here, and I'm meant to be buying into all the emotion that's gone down, to have Otis come out, do a caterpillar, and then make Mandy Rose do a caterpillar, after what was a pretty intense match, suplexes on the ramp and all that, chairs being slid across tables like they're whiskies for Hangman Page. Yeah, I could have done without that, definitely. Right, so this next match, I seem to be in the minority.
I don't think you are on this one. I'll let you get your take across, but I don't think you are in the minority here.
Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins in a no DQ match. Now, I'm just going to present to you the facts on paper. It went 22 minutes. It was the longest match on the show. 18 of those 22 minutes were Seth beating up Dominic in front of Ray. Ray could have got involved because it was a no DQ match, but he chose not to, even when they were going after Ray's own wife.
Yes, those are the facts.
I couldn't get past those bits. I couldn't get past that story. What I had in my head, and I know what's in your head shouldn't be what you expect, but like I felt Dominic had to just run out, have an absolute brawl with Seth, maximum 10 minutes, smoke and mirrors, loads of hardcore spots, bish, bash, bosh, done quicker than you can say Mike Awesome and Tanaka. Tanga. And, or, you know, maybe I can't say that, but they didn't. They like stretched it out. Seth just whipping and kendo stick hitting and slight hope spot comeback. I was bored. Dominic looked good. Dominic did a few impressive things. It still looked very green. I wasn't engaged by this.
I think this match would have been better if Ray hadn't come back. Like if Ray hadn't come back to Raw last week. So Dominic went out there on his own. And he put up a good fight and he lasted for a while, but the numbers game got the better of him. And that's why he lost to Seth Rollins. And then you could have Ray return on Raw tonight to set up a tag match between Ray and Dominic versus Buddy and Seth for payback in a week's time. But Ray came back early. So Ray was then just sort of standing there at ringside being like, oh my God, my boy's getting his ass kicked. I can help and he won't get DQ'd and it will be absolutely fine. But he did say to me not to, so got to respect his wishes there. I didn't particularly work for me, and I said this on the stream last night, I don't see the point of beating Dominic here in his first match. And like I know Adam's point, like the whole point was it was to make Dominic look good. And I'm like, yeah, but Seth keeps winning this feud. Like Seth has consistently won every single time here, and he's just won again. And I think it kind of kills some of the momentum for Dominic to just get beaten again. And it's not like he lost due to unfairness, just lost because he wasn't good.
Yeah, and his dad doesn't help him. So this is the big thing that's been thrown as a reason why this match was good. And if you enjoyed it, all the power to you. I'm just explaining my side of how some very clear logic holes and I would argue bloated match structure stopped me from enjoying it. But Devil Kazuya 27 here says, in the storyline, Dominic asked Mysterio not to interfere in the match with Seth. That's why he didn't interfere. He did beat up Murphy. So yeah, we've already said that. Dominic asked his dad not to interfere because, you know, he's trying to prove himself, right? He's trying to show that he is a man. That he can be a Mysterio by himself. There comes a point, though, when you've had your eye gouged out by some guy and then he's in there beating up your son for 18 minutes, that maybe you do get involved. Because if you don't, you look like an idiot. And that's how Ray came across to me here.
Or you do the handcuff spot earlier in the match.
Oh, eventually, that's perfect.
Rollins and Murphy handcuffed Ray to the ropes so he couldn't help Dominic when he was trying to help him out. And like that's why he then had to witness his son get stomped into the earth and beaten. Just do that earlier. Just do that right at the start of the match. And that completely removes the logic hole of why Riddick. And that's way better, because this is the same nonsense of like, that's why Samoa Joe didn't get involved in there during the kendo stick beatdown. Because Samoa Joe was too afraid to lose his job from the corporate suit. Samoa Joe, the Samoan submission machine, was like, got to play by the rules, though, in this scenario.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
I think you've solved it. I think that what a like really dramatic bit of staging that would be for the entire time. Yeah, I still think 22 minutes is way too long. There's no way Seth versus Dominic should be the longest match on SummerSlam. It's like Shane McMahon getting the longest match in a pay-per-view. Can't happen. But yeah, I think you've solved it there. Rey Mysterio's wife, Angie, came down as part of this. But yeah, Seth Rollins won with a stomp onto Dominic as Rey watched with the cuffs on. One fan did have a beach ball on the screen.
Nice. Very good.
Oh, great. And Seth's gear, we should mention, was a really good reference to Rey's gear from WCW Halloween Havoc 97.
A match with Eddie Guerrero. So there's all that SummerSlam history there between Rey and Eddie as well. Very nice touch. And Dominic's Mysterio was like a cross between Rey's and Mustafa Ali's. Do you think that's why Mustafa Ali's not getting a push anymore? Because they're like, hey, you've got Dominic's gear, so you can't get over now.
The final image was sort of Rey and Dominic with their foreheads pressed against each other, and like, we'll be okay, which was a visual callback to the Eddie Guerrero match at SummerSlam 2 when they fought for custody. So. Now, after that beach ball and the Pikachus, something started to happen to the LED fans. They would occasionally just flash up a black screen with white text that read, Fire Velveteen Dream. And I saw it once, and I was like, oh God, how did that slip through? But it was gone very quickly. And then, in the next half hour, I don't know if it was different people, like it was a bit of a coordinated effort,
I saw it
two to three times after that in the front four rows.
Yeah, so I believe this was a coordinated plan to have this come up on screen to kind of get the message across. So yeah, it was, and it worked. But I think WWE were quick enough to get them off there, but not quick enough for people not to notice them.
It was on there. Well, I tell you who did notice it. Have you seen this with Rhea Ripley?
Yeah.
So Ryan Satin tweeted out the pictures. Look, you know, Fire Velveteen Dream signs, a sort of hat being shown on the LED screens. And Rhea Ripley liked that post. Velveteen Dream's own NXT colleague, Rhea Ripley. And this follows last week, I think it was, Triple H said, we did the investigation, we didn't find anything wrong. A wrestling news site posted about that on Instagram with the quote. Nia Jax commented on that with loads of clown face laughing emojis. This is shocking in so many ways. You know, first that it's a situation at all, in that, you know, this is very serious. It's very controversial, and WWE seem to think they can just plow ahead and not really address it. But for their own performers to be publicly, what's the word, sort of criticizing them, is very unparalleled in WWE.
Yeah. So obviously we don't know all the ins and outs of this. WWE have said that they did their own internal investigation. However, the people who accused Velveteen Dream have said that they were not contacted about this investigation. But they are plowing ahead with just like, but he wasn't off for any other reason that he was in a car accident and was injured. That's why he's not being on TV. He's not being punished or anything like that. I honestly thought he was going to win the North American Championship. It was the only match of the predictions I got wrong. So, but WWE have got they're plowing ahead. It's the Dominic Cummings thing of just like, we've said it now. So no further questions, Your Honor. We've said that we're not going to look into it further. So. We're not, and we expect you to not look into it any further either. But I think this is part of those, when WWE do live shows with fans, they can confiscate signs. You can check the signs coming through, or it's a sign that we don't want you saying about a wrestler, or it's a sign for AEW, whatever, we can confiscate that. Here's another sign you can hold up instead. you can't control that as much with the Thunderdome. And you can't really do it on delay either, like too much of a delay. So, yeah, these sorts of things are going to happen quite a lot, I'd imagine, over the next coming months.
So moving on, we then got the best match of the night. I thought SummerSlam, you know, had been a good show up until this point. Nothing spectacular by a long shot, though, you know, just to recap. Asuka versus Bayley was good, but it was, you know, half a match, really. Street Profits, Garza and Andrade was a raw match. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, I loved the effort, but, you know, it was a bit sloppy. Mysterio versus Rollins, a lot of people liked, I was bored by. So I'm like, that's where we're at right now. And we've got three matches left. And then Sasha Banks and Asuka have an excellent, excellent match. And this is where I forgot that the Thunderdome was a thing. This was where I was just absorbed utterly by the action that was happening inside the ring. And it just started off brilliantly with Sasha Banks. They're circling each other. And Sasha Banks just goes straight for this low drop kick on Asuka, right to that knee. She's not messing about. She's the boss. And very quickly after, Sasha hits a sunset flip powerbomb off the apron onto Asuka, right onto the ground. Looked awful.
Yeah, it was a rough old bump to take. But like this match was incredible. This was so, so good. And I was really annoyed at the Extreme Rules match because I felt that they had a great match it was an NXT match with a main roster finish. This was just an NXT match with an NXT finish. It was proper good from start to end. Absolutely love watching these two work together. It's just so nice seeing Sasha Banks on pay-per-view again and work. And it's good seeing Asuka feel like Asuka again, because I feel like the story has been a bit muddled at times. I feel like it's not really... I know you've enjoyed it, but it's not really worked for me, the whole stealing of the title and then not being the champion, but then winning the championship by a count out. And all. I thought it's been a bit ratings grabby. But this match was so great, so pay-per-view worthy. Loved every single second of it.
Yeah, I guess you can have your thoughts on how the storyline has unfolded over the last 2 months. But man, all of the in-ring work has been sublime. And I guess like the worst part of all of this is Sasha might just be on SmackDown going forward. I want to see this like intensely stacked women's division that they've managed to create for themselves, because Banks and Bayley are the tag team champions and they can travel across brands. But I expect them to lose at Payback next week. So this sort of era of the journey woman, I suppose, Banks and Bayley act, won't be able to go across both brands anymore.
Yeah, which is a shame because they have been so consistently good. But I'm all for Asuka winning the belt again. I think especially she's now won the belt. So it wasn't like it was handed to her in the Money in the Bank briefcase, which is what a lot of people read the Money in the Bank win. So yeah, I think this is great. I'm all for this. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go next with it on Raw. Like you said, I can see them losing the tag titles at Payback, and that's the catalyst that leads to the split between Banks and Bayley. And I can't wait to see that match either. I think that's going to be great too.
Yeah, no split here. It was just Bayley trying to interfere, like in the exact same way that Banks had. But it was a bit of a mistimed interaction, I thought. Bayley didn't really screw up at all, but Asuka backfisted her off of the apron and rolled up. No, she got Sasha in the Asuka lock, and Sasha tapped as she was screaming out for Bayley, like, help me, help me. So I really like this, and I love that there wasn't an angle afterwards. I really liked how there was only one angle on this show, and it was saved for the main event. It was, and all those matches ending clean and having decent finishes. Like, I don't, because a lot of the viewers of this channel are quite a bit younger, and I think they've been conditioned to finishes don't really matter. But like, if you're thinking, man, this pay-per-view felt a bit different, it felt a bit more satisfying than normal, the reason is because there were results. There was actual clear defined winners. There wasn't like 100 different angles and gobbledygook that happened for the matches. It was clean, strong victories.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was awesome. Really, really loved it. Loved the fact that we didn't have the split angle here because you don't want to undermine the big Roman angle at the end of the show. You're saving these things for TV. And I think that's fine. I think one of my criticisms I had against Extreme Rules was that none of the matches really mattered because all of the matches were just telling you to watch Raw or SmackDown the following night and following week. These were just like, no, you had to watch this pay-per-view to see the conclusions to this chapter of the story. And we can then build into the next chapter later on the TV shows. Loved it. Thought it was great.
Really good. And so many spots. Like, go and watch this match. There's too many bits for us to recount. Really strong style that they worked as well. But, you know, as great as Banks and Asuka wrestled, and it really was my match of the night, by the end of it, Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton gave them a run for their money. Yeah. I loved this match.
And the finish of this match was so great. So great, because the whole thing has been building to Claymore versus RKO. You'll never see it coming. It's the tagline of this pay-per-view. A total red herring. It ended with a backslide, which was just absolutely brilliant, because I'll be honest, I didn't see it coming. They were right.
And it wasn't the thing. It wasn't the thing that they were telling us we wouldn't see coming. But we thought it was. We thought the thing you wouldn't see coming was the underwhelming thing. Just brilliant. Neither guy hit their finisher. They wrestled for 20 minutes. No claymores, no RKOs, multiple RKO attempts. Not really any claymores from what I can remember. But this was just like a classic title fight. This was very similar to Drew's reign as NXT champion. Those just sort of like really great long main event matches for the championship. Bit of blood as well. You know, busted open the hard way, Drew under the eye. The commentators said Randy got Drew's blood on him. To me, it looked like Randy had cut himself open because it was dripping and seemed to be self-gushing. It wasn't like off of Drew. And that added a bit of drama to it as well, a bit of heightened emotion. It felt 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. I really, really liked this match. I thought it was great. I really like these two working together. Also, as a way to extend out the feud, which is something we've not seen for Drew really since he's been champion. He's only had sort of like monster of the week contenders. Beat Rollins, moved on to Lashley, beat Lashley, moved on to Dolph, beat Dolph, moved on to Randy. But now we've got to finish here with Randy. That means we can do another pay-per-view match out of this at Payback the following week, perhaps with some sort of stipulation.
Yeah, I thought going into this show, now's the time to take the title off Drew. And Drew was so good. You'd take the title off him so he can win it back in front of fans. Because unfortunately, his title reign has been hampered so far by, like you said, Monster of the Week feuds, but also not having that big crowd reaction. But seeing him in the Thunderdome, it worked. Having him up against a star like Randy Orton worked. And him winning with this outsmarting backslide pin, not having hit his finisher, leaving plenty in the tank for another feud, another match. I think keeping the belt on him was the right idea. But now if they do have a Payback rematch, I'm worried about that, because I wouldn't want Randy to win, but I wouldn't want him to lose either.
Tough one then. I'm excited. Do you know what? I'm really excited to see Raw tonight and see what the next chapter of this story is. And that, I think, is a testament to how good the match and how good the finish was.
Yeah. Really, really good stuff. And just overall, as a piece of pay-per-view booking, I don't know when they decided what the thing that we won't see coming was.
Mm-hmm.
But if their plan, and you got to give them credit for this because it seems intentional, if their plan was, let's on purposely not give you anything that you might see coming and think that we're screwing with you, set up the actual Roman Reigns return. Just, I'm genuinely in awe of WWE for that. That is great booking.
That's really, really smart stuff. You love to see it.
And Braun versus The Fiend was the main event. Not really a good match, but it was there because of the Roman Reigns return angle at the end. It was just a brawl up the ramp in a bit of a gorilla position and then back down.
Yeah, I thought the finish was a bit like bit pants, as I mentioned earlier. Braun went to go get a box cutter, cut up the ring a little bit, and then Fiend just hit a couple of Sister Abigail's. Didn't really look like Braun landed hard onto the apron or anything, onto the exposed wood, and just pinned him. It's just a bit. Yeah, it's kind of actually a bit like the WrestleMania match with Goldberg. It's like, it just ended, I guess. That's it. That's all she wrote.
Well, overall, before we get in with all your super chats, last call for those, by the way, we will read every single one of them out. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was a very, very good show overall. But, you know, looking back on it, it was two very good matches and a killer angle. And, you know, sometimes that's all you need.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's how you leave them, folks. Mm. And this one left me wanting to see both Raw and crucially SmackDown, which has not happened in quite some time. I thought it was as a thumbs up show. And I think 4 out of 5 is very much a worthy score for it.
That's a really interesting point. It has set up a genuinely exciting landscape for WWE. Look, tonight, Drew McIntyre is champion. Asuka is champion. What's going to go on there? Aleister Black returning. Keith Lee returning. And like you said, SmackDown, you've got Roman Reigns there now. Well done, WWE. We don't say that often because it's not often deserved, but here, a massive thumbs up. A great weekend for wrestling overall as well, with NXT TakeOver and AEW Dynamite, which I'm watching right now. It's on my TV. I paused it for this. It is so nice to watch wrestling and not have to make notes.
Yeah, but Ollie, when are you going to review it, you big dick? Why haven't you reviewed it yet, you big knobhead?
You know, there are only so many hours in a day. Sorry about that, but unfortunately, the schedule was what it was. We couldn't all get everything covered in time. Let's get on with your super chats. Last call, remember, Keith Gilmore. When Braun was tearing up the ring, Corey Graves slipped and said, "Roman." You could see Cole in the background, pissed, staring a hole through Graves.
Oh, really? I must have missed. I didn't hear that. I'll have to go back and check that out.
There's some weird photos on the WWE.com gallery of this bit, where there's a few shots of Roman walking down to the ring before the reveal. So he didn't hide himself. You wouldn't have to. There's nobody there. Mary, Matty B. Wrestling. I really feel like the Thunderdome made it feel like an actual pay-per-view for the first time in the Carino era.
Completely agree.
Annika Wilson. I still want Alexa Bliss a part of this storyline. Do you think they could be leading up to a Fiend Bliss Strowman faction?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, we'll certainly see with SmackDown, but the fact that there was no Alexa Bliss in this storyline whatsoever was a real glaring omission.
Yeah, didn't make for a coherent, neat story. Yeah. Alan Monzon, what should be Keith Lee's first feud on Raw? Also hoping that Karrion Kross's injury is not serious and he can remain NXT champion. NXT losing two big stars would hurt. Hashtag jam that jam.
Jam that jam. Completely agree. As for Keith Lee's first feud, I'm reserving all judgment. I've been burned by NXT call-ups for the last couple of years. I don't want to get myself, because what my ideal scenario would be? He comes out and he confronts Drew McIntyre, or he comes out and he confronts Apollo Crews for a title match, or he comes out and he just establishes himself in a storyline and in a upper mid-card into main event position, as opposed to just coming out and having squash matches for the next 3 weeks. Yes, Ollie Davis.
Two words. Raw Underground.
Oh, God.
People want to see it. Ollie knows what the people want to see. Stu, what is your ideal segment for Keith Lee tonight? I think Rollins coming out to start a feud with him would be good too.
You're absolutely right, but he's still feuding with the Mysterios. Mm. So that kind of takes Rollins out for a little bit.
And then
Rollins is moving into Joe.
I would love a Samoa Joe versus Keith Lee feud. Dip Gioti Pool. I want Brock versus Keith Lee. I want meat slapping. Yeah, get some of that Royal Rumble stare down back. Tom Watt, who do you think will challenge Sasha and Bayley for the tag team championships at Payback? All the best from Germany.
Asuka and Shayna Baszler, and they are going to be the tag champs that are feuding with each other.
Yeah, I mean, who else really is there?
Nia Jax and Shayna.
Shut up. Oh, Jessamine Duke and Marina Shafir.
Oh, that'll be in for. Yeah, I'll be in for that.
Brandon Rosen. When Bayley and Sasha finally break up, who will be the true heel in this feud? I personally believe Sasha is way more convincing as a heel, despite the good work Bayley has done recently. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'd pushing Bayley back into a babyface role, I think it'd be really... Sasha is way better as a heel than she is as a babyface, so I'd quite like to continue to see Sasha as a heel. And maybe get so we can try and bring back like Bayley realizing that she has been making this error as the role model character and go back to her hugging ways. I think it'd be a really cool story to tell.
Stephen Corton. I was actually more impressed with Pat McAfee than I was with Dominic. Not to mention that referee was a knob not helping Ray after Murphy dropped the key in the ring. Yeah, but okay. I haven't actually watched the McAfee match yet, but people are raving about it.
I was going to say, I still haven't caught up on NXT. I haven't even caught up on Dynamite this week either. I've only seen bits and pieces, so I've still got a lot to catch up on, it'll be peppered throughout this week, I guess.
Matthew Burledge will never not laugh at dropped off at a school bit. Thank you very much. Stu, should Dominic go to NXT for a few years?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think he could definitely do with more in ring time. I don't notice stuff in the ring that much, but even I could tell that Seth was talking to him and coaching him through spots. I felt like a lot of his offense was very rehearsed and stilted. I still like the guy's intensity, but yeah, he's nowhere near a WWE level performer.
I don't think he needs to be, not at this point anyway. I think he can just have people carry him through matches and just learn by doing, as opposed to going to NXT and learning for a few years and possibly losing some of the momentum that you have got from this main roster run that he's got.
Mr. Deegan 2. So glad they had Otis come out at the end of Sonya versus Mandy. Almost thought we were meant to take the story seriously, but clearly not. And in brackets, sarcasm.
Oh, by the way, I was being sarcastic.
Josh Mansfield, do you think Shane had anything to do with Raw's SummerSlam matches last night, since he's rumored to take control of Raw? I hope so. So Raw is better.
Interesting. Yeah, that was the story last week, wasn't it? That Shane's taken over Raw because Pritchard can't do both. Huh.
I'm very, very curious to see what that would look like. I'll pass over to you.
Adam Pearson, SmackDown podcast presenter with Pete. Adam Pearson's, are we getting Raw Thunderground tonight on Raw?
Did you hear my joke last week about Natalia and Mickie James?
No.
Their match was actually part of a new bit on Raw, Raw Background.
Hey, very good, mate.
I got the people.
Wally TV, Dan, we all know that Jinder will interfere at Payback, right? The show he beat Orton for the... He beat him at Backlash, didn't he?
Yeah, people keep saying Backlash when they're talking about Payback. But I always do it the other way around.
Meltzer did it in the Observer newsletter. He kept saying, yeah, Backlash is next week. Drew is his best friend. It's going to happen. I think Jinder coming back is to feud with Drew, I could certainly see. But like, that's going to feel like such a step down from Randy Orton. Like, such a major step down. Mm-hmm. Nate Drop Surname said, I'm pretty terrified for Aleister Black on the Kevin Owens show. He doesn't need a new gimmick. He's one of my favorites, but WWE track record isn't great here.
Yeah. I'm concerned too. I like the gimmick as well. But Vince reportedly doesn't, so we'll see what happens.
Richard McCann says, we didn't get to hear your thoughts on the Dark Order finish on Saturday's Dynamite. Were your spoilers for Dynamite or All In?
Spoilers for Dynamite. Yeah, so the spoiler was that I reported 2 weeks ago that Brody did win, which happened, but Eric Rowan helped him.
Yeah.
So that Eric didn't happen. Redbeard.
No, he just wanted a squash match, which I did not see coming.
I haven't got to that match yet, but I've read the review and I've seen the final image where it's Cody holding Brandy's hand and they're both unconscious. Just phenomenal stuff. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Eduardo says, are we getting an AEW Dynamite review this week?
Sure are. That will be on Friday because the schedule is changed.
Yep. Timothy Beattie, was the Hall of Fame class supposed to happen last night? Do you remember who was in the Hall of Fame class this year? Ooh. I think they're just going to wait until Mania next year at this point, I think.
But we NWO, were trying to, we had this,
wait, yeah, we had this last night, didn't we? Bret Hart, sorry. Bulldog was in there, the Bellas, Liger, JBL?
NWO.
And the NWO. And Batista.
And Batista,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Hasselhoff Hall of Fame 9K says, waiting for Quizzle in the Bank. Please do remember that Dana Brooke shot Drake Maverick during the Christmas special of Raw Underground. Call 911.
If you don't know what that means, calling spots on parts of unknown.
And we've got a new episode of that going out today. It's going out in about 3 hours' time. Mm. And it's another doozy. It's become one of my favorite things to do. It was really fun. Luke Aaron Scanlon, this was from yesterday, said, just wanted to say I tweeted you guys a tribute that me and my missus did to Quizzlemania. Would love a reply for her. Also, I did not buy a JTJ mug for Sean Ross Sapp to come in and ruin it all. JTJ boys, keep up the awesome work. I checked out the, they did a whose nips are these round for themselves to build themselves up in SummerSlam. Very good stuff. Jobber JJ said, the winner of the YouTube Wars, Jam That Jam. That's right, Ollie brought the competition. Name on the contract says Ollie Davis. However, reads Ollie Davis, number one fan. He knows, he knows what people want.
I know what people want. And this is after everyone said I couldn't do it. And I saw Adam wearing an FTF shirt. I'm not stupid. I know what he was trying to do. And even with that, even with Sean Ross Sapp hacking in, I still won. I'm feeling pretty confident about Quizzlemania on Wednesday. That's all I can say.
I mean, I'm very excited to see you at Quizzlemania X7. We are going to do things my way. It's my way or the highway. I'm excited to see. Also, Ollie, did you hear about Bret Hart of the Hall of Fame?
Cheers, Dan. No. Thanks, Dan. Because obviously you're hosting Quizzlemania.
Yes.
When you say my way, you mean my way.
Yes, I mean my way or the highway.
So you could say that I should feel pretty confident about retaining my Quizzlemania championship.
Tag team championships with me, which is fine because they're not on the line, I suppose. But I think you've got some good wrestling knowledge on you, so I'm confident about your performance. You are facing stiff competition from Adam and Sean, though, less Pete. But you are facing some stiff competition, so... You know, I maybe let's not get hopes too high, eh?
Well, I'm just saying, not everyone has their best bud as the quizmaster.
Oh, I mean, I'm calling things right down the middle.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah, I got you. I got you. We'll move on.
Okay. Angry Gamer says, here he is, ladies and gents, Ollie Vinny McDavis, hashtag jam that jam.
That's not how you spell my name. You've put an E in there.
Eddie Good, had a lovely time with the boys last night, but serious question, do you guys know anything I can use to shave my big hairy balls?
I put it away. Yes, Manscaped. go with my Manscaped link. WTTV, use that discount code.
Oh, mate, look at this. Michael says, I don't know if Quizzlemania can be rigged for Ollie without blatant cheating. He's doubting your ability there, mate.
No one's saying anything's going to be rigged. Are they?
No. Well, no, because it can't. Like, they're right. You can't rig Quizzlemania. And I'm certainly not going to be rigging it either. It's right down the middle.
Yeah.
No need for the winks there. Brandon Rosen, down the middle. Brandon Rosen, if Roman Reigns wins the title over The Fiend next Sunday, where does Bray Wyatt go from here? Is the character dead and buried?
I mean, the thing is, The Fiend isn't a character that needs the title. The Fiend is like a force of chaos that goes after people. Historically, people who have been involved with Bray Wyatt previously. So it's a mistake putting the title on him anyway. But, you know, it is what it is. If he loses it again, he's just going to slowly settle into a level. I love Kane, but, you know, Kane was never a huge main event guy. I think The Fiend will probably get slotted into sort of that upper mid-card, lower main event slot, which is a shame because he could have been legit a new Undertaker.
Levante Rogers, what future fantasy bookings do you want to see on Raw and SmackDown?
Well, I think the Keith Lee stuff, just going straight after Drew McIntyre, would be awesome.
James Dobinson, Alexa Bliss to side with The Fiend at Payback and help him retain the title versus Roman Reigns. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. The Bliss stuff was a thing. I was never fully on board with it. I did kind of get a kick out of it. But really, I think it should probably be dropped if they're going to.
Yeah, I agree. Zachary Jenkins, remember this time last year when we were really happy about The Fiend, just shortly after SummerSlam 2019? It's the most exciting thing in wrestling. Mr. Siege Lily, hey guys, how can they save the Alexa Bliss storyline? They can't just drop it, can they? People seem to really like this. I mean, is it because it's Sister Abigail? And that's why wrestling fans are really excited about this, because finally it's Sister Abigail.
Mm. Yeah, but potentially a lot of people want it to happen. I don't really know why. I guess because it's a cool bit of lore and you can add a new character. But I think in practice it won't work, which is why I'm not that excited about it.
Yeah, I think if you were going to do Sister Abigail, it would be getting a new character in to play that role, as opposed to just taking an existing character and just slotting it into someone. That is square peg, round hole type stuff for me. And lastly, some more Afro Games, the chat we read out earlier. Love you guys.
Ah, thank you very much, Jaron Walker. Well, we have gone massively over yet again. Thank you everyone for joining us for this live stream, though, and everyone for the live reactions last night as well, and for voting Jam That Jam. I know what the people want. Go back and watch my WrestleTalk SummerSlam 2020 review from earlier today. And also go over to WrestleTalk Interviews. There's a link on the pinned comment and subscribe there, because Louis Dangor has an exclusive interview with Ric Flair. Woo! The Nature Boy! This Wednesday, with the clip going up tomorrow. And go over to Parts of Unknown, because Luke's Was Actually Good series had a new episode on Saturday about the Attitude Era, and we've got Calling Spots Episode 2 going live later today. So much content! I've been Ollie Davis. That's been Luke Owen. And that was wrestling.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.